Father in heaven, we thank you for the reminder this morning that regardless of the storms that come into our lives, that you are there, that you are for us, you are not against us, that you walk us through those moments in ways that bring hope, that bring healing, that bring strength and encouragement. And we thank you that we can proclaim your goodness this morning. And Lord, as we continue on this wonderful day when we're celebrating moms and the significance that they bring to our lives, give us, Lord, hope, give us encouragement, and may we celebrate well all that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, wonderful to have you here this morning, and welcome on this special Mother's Day. And it is a special kind of day because, I'm always uncomfortable doing Mother's Day, to be honest, because what can I possibly tell you about being a mom, right? I think you're in for a real treat this morning because part of the message is going to come from my better half this morning. From come on up, Darlene. Darlene has agreed to. Darlene has agreed to be part of the message today, and I don't think people realize just how this is like parting of the Red Sea. Okay. Can we put it in that context, okay, that Darlene's actually up front today? So nice to have you here, hon. Okay, great. Nice to have you here. All right. I'm gonna give you the microphone, okay? But I'm gonna shock you a little bit, okay? Because I'm gonna read you something. Okay? This is I came across a Mother's Day article on being a wife from Housekeeping Monthly. And I think it's the magazine that came before Good Housekeeping. Okay? And this is from May 13th, 1965. Okay? 51 years ago. And this is the advice that the magazine was giving to wives. Okay? Don't shoot the messenger. All right? All right. You ready for this? This is really good. It read this. It said, plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious dinner ready when your husband gets home from work. Why are you laughing? I've lost you already. Honey, you okay? All right. Okay. This is a way of letting him know you have been thinking about him and are concerned with his needs. I thought that would have gotten a laugh. Anyway, okay? Prepare yourself. Put on some makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair. And be fresh looking.
Boy, you really have failed when you chose me. Sorry,
He's been with a lot of work-weary people. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash them up, brush their hair, and change their clothes if needed. Remember, they are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part. This was actually in the magazine in 1965, okay? We're not kidding here, right? Okay, have a cool or warm drink for him and arrange his pillow and take off his shoes. Over the cooler months, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by. After all, catering to his comfort will bring you immense satisfaction. This is the new vow thing I'm putting in the wedding. And let him talk first. You actually have to say that. Like, remember that his topics of conversation are more important than yours. Oh. Wow. I'm going to have to leave that one out in the second service. Wow. We could do the whole message just on this line alone. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his need to relax.
Now I understand why our marriage ceremony was in Greek.
Yeah, you didn't understand. Yeah, that was totally in there. You lost it.
Yeah.
That was totally
wow.
in there.
You lost. Comparisons, eh?
Wow. Like. Comparisons, yeah, absolutely. Times have changed, haven't they? Times have absolutely changed, haven't they? Right? Wow. 51 years ago, that's what Good Housekeeping was writing about and all that kind of stuff. And you know, is there, by the way, can we be honest, is there any wisdom in that? Yeah, what would the wisdom be? When you go ahead, you say it.
There really is something good and noble about doing these simple everyday tasks for another person. It's just that it was never meant to flow just one way, from wife to husband, woman to man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very patriarchy and very stereotypical and all those kind of stuff. But you know, I think God's plan, though, right, honestly, was husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. It's a two-way embrace. But imagine being a couple that serve each other in this particular way, okay? If it's equal, if it's, you know, serving first and foremost. Imagine a relationship like that. I know this is really funny, right? Admittedly, but there is a little bit about being served well by the person that you live with. And I know that's kind of pushing the edge here this morning a little bit, but we want to, you know, Darlene and I wanted to talk about what it means to serve each other well, what it means to, you know, over the years, what we've learned as a couple. Being in ministry, being, you know, husband and wife, being now grandparents, that
parents,
we are.
Yeah. Adult children.
Adult children and all that kind of stuff. And we wanted to take a passage and kind of talk a little bit about what this passage teaches us. Because one of the things that I think we've really struggled with in our lives, and especially in ministry lives, is this whole thing of comparisons. You know, that we place ourselves in such a stressful and tension-filled situation, trying to compare ourselves with other people, and compare ourselves whether or not we're measuring up to the expectations and the perceptions that people have of us, and how we manage those things, and what we learn about those things. So I just thought it'd be helpful, because this isn't just about moms. It's not just about our spiritual moms or the people. It's about a relationships altogether. How do we live in the balance of all of that? And one of the passages that we're going to look at is from the Apostle Paul. And what people don't realize, if you've ever read the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is communicating to a church who no longer believe he has the authority. And he's struggling to communicate to them that he does have the authority. The people who are coming into the church are starting to teach things that are against what the Apostle Paul wanted to teach them. And he's actually defending themselves. And there's four things that happen in this, the relationship that Paul speaks to, that we're going to speak to. And Darlene's going to bring some wisdom to this this morning as we talk about this. So here's the passage we want to look at this morning. This is Paul himself writing to this church in Corinth. For some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speeches are useless. Imagine this. This is the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist and the greatest church planter of history. And he's writing this. This is the rumors that go around about him. He writes these powerful letters, but when you meet the man in person, he's weak
and his speeches are useless. He's not this really good communicator. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that. We are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant all of that is. So Paul's struggling with the very fact of himself, the apostle of God, this great man of God, measuring up. And the comparisons of these other teachers and how he has to defend himself. So we want to talk about these four intruders of comparison. And listen, we all do this. Let's be honest about this. When it comes to our lives, we all measure ourselves to other people. And when we do that, we lose a sense of who God made us to be. And this is the dangers of comparisons and the dangers of what happens when we compare ourselves to each other. So, you know, when I don't feel like measure up, what do you say?
Well, the other day I was at Indigo and I was just taking a look around and a cover of a journal had caught my attention and it just really gave me something to focus on. And I think it was just a God thing because it helped me prepare a little bit more for today. And the journal cover said, never compare your beginning to someone else's middle. And just the thought of that, and we never know other people's circumstances or where they are or whatever, but when we are starting to go through something or you're starting a new group or you're doing something that's totally new for you, you generally do compare yourself to someone who has been doing something like forever.
Farther down the road. Yeah, that's just a really wonderful way of saying comparing apples and oranges that we use all the time, right? You know, and we start out in a particular journey, but we're always comparing ourselves to someone who's gotten farther down the road than we have and have managed it far, far better.
Yeah. And comparison will always leave us feeling like we don't measure up. We can try and do more and be more, yet it just never seems to be enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it never seems to be enough. So here what we think the four intruders that come into our lives when we deal with comparisons. And the first one is fear, right? Fear.
Fear is kind of this limiting thing, this fence or boundary that we place around ourselves that inhibits our capacity. It's this external influence that causes something internal in us.
Yeah, yeah. Hello. I don't know who that is. Might be both of us. Fear is kind of like this doorway or this portal to doubt. I think we don't wrestle with fear all that well when it comes to this. I mentioned in my book something that I've mentioned from the platform. Well, when our kids were growing up, we did not allow them to use the word can't. They were not allowed to use the word can't. Every time they said can't, we made them change the sentence. You can't use that word, is what we'd say. You know, it was an important, and you know what? It was a little thing that we did, but it was huge in their development, right? It was huge in their development, and even today, the kids talk about how important that was that we never allowed them to use the word can't in any of their conversations, and the reason why we did that because there were three things we wanted them to never be afraid of. We never wanted them to have a fear of trying, no matter what. Do you remember what the other two were? Yeah, I'm testing you.
Good thing I have notes. Yeah. Not to fear failing, and definitely not to fear what God could do.
Yeah, so never to fear trying, and never to be afraid of failure itself, and never to be afraid of what God can potentially do in a situation. Because, you know, the minute you fear and you don't do anything, you're just taking God out of the equation, period. You know, forfeit the risk, you forfeit the miracle. Okay, and that's what happened. I heard this quote just this week, actually, from this General McChrystal. He said, "Leaders let people fail Leaders let people fail. This is great. But they don't let them become failures. Leaders let people fail, but they never allow them to become failures. That's a huge distinction. And you were really good. I got to admit, Darlene was great with our kids when it came to this thing. We're going to allow you to stumble. We're going to allow you to fall. We're going to allow you to learn how to manage life. But we're not going to allow you to ever feel like you're a failure. Because to fail is a great learning tool, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I really didn't want fear to be the governing factor in the life of our kids. And that's just basically from personal experience of growing up and having fear dictate a lot of my decisions in my life. And I definitely didn't want for that to happen to them. And not only that is, you know, we wanted them, like, we didn't want them to disrespect what a healthy fear looks like either, but wanted them to be able to try and tackle any challenge that was before them. Many people experience a failure to launch because they never even get to the launch pad.
Yeah. Yeah, many people never even get to the launch pad. I love Psalm 118, verses 4 to 6. It says this, let all who fear the Lord repeat. And I love the fact that it says repeat. All who fear the Lord repeat. In other words, whenever fear comes into your mind, whenever fear comes into your life, repeat this in your own head. Repeat this and remember it and remember it. Because that's the thing about fear. It comes in so many packages and it comes in so many ways. It says, let all who fear the Lord repeat. His faithful love endures forever. In my distress, the psalmist writes, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. And I love this. It says, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Isn't that a great passage, right? To repeat that in your life. Second is this lack of acceptance. How many people struggle with this lack of acceptance who say, you know, I'm not enough. Personally, I'm not enough.
Wow. Lack of acceptance. Feeling unloved, rejected, measured, or known more by your failures and mistakes than what has happened with growth and maturity.
How many people get identified by their failures and mistakes? This is what you know they're known for, is their failures and or mistakes. This is my identity. I don't know how many times we had people say, you know, I'm a failure. I'm you know, I don't have any kind of acceptance in me. This is my whole life. This is my identity. This is who I am. And it's such a tough place to be, right? You know, we say to ourselves, "What do I have to offer? I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to give." I read recently too the Facebook syndrome. You heard about the Facebook syndrome, a social media syndrome. Most people get depressed when they sit on Facebook for a long period of time because everybody else's life looks really good. Everybody does not post all the depressing stuff on Facebook. Most people post, this is, you know, the highlights of their life and the best parts of their life. Most people get depressed when they look at Facebook. It's called the Facebook syndrome, and it actually exists.
Now, you know why I don't have Facebook.
Yeah, you'll never find Darlene on Facebook. Yeah.
It really creates a false reality. Other lives look better than yours. And when you're in that spot of comparison, you know, you take that one little simple statement that someone else posted or you see on Instagram or any of the social media, and then you can just really knock yourself down even more.
Yeah. How many women in here, I'm going to pick on the women, how many women in here get kind of a little bit of anxiety when you read Proverbs 31? Because it's the perfect, right? But is it? You have to realize Proverbs 31 is the whole person's life in a snapshot, right? That's kind of like the Facebook page of that person. It's like the Hallmark card of a woman's perfect life. Okay, if you could, you know, and guys have the same issue all the way around, right? Because we have this thing where we, and again, this is some proverbial wisdom where we say the grass is greener on the other side. But that's the reality. I love this passage out of Colossians 2, 6 and 10. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. In other words, God, you know, Christ is God incarnate. And don't let any human philosophies or anything supersede what it is that Christ says about you. Okay? So, you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler, every authority. No one has more power, nor should have any authority over you more than Christ does. Here's another passage from Romans 8, 33 to 35. I've loved this part of Romans. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Nothing beats the love of Christ in our lives. Nothing. What about this thing of insecurity? Insecurity is the other one that, you know, we've struggled with. I've struggled with.
Me too. I think insecurity is not accepting who you are fully. And the ability to come to terms with who you are, who God made you to be, and at the same time knowing you still need to grow and improve.
Yeah, accepting who you are in Christ, but also recognizing that Christ is doing a work in you, right? Being confident of this very, very thing. You know, if you're a believer here this morning, what is the one characteristic we're all called to adopt as believers? You know, it's a test. All right, humility. Can we say humility is the one, right? But if you're insecure in any sort of way, you will never be able to demonstrate humility the way God wants you to demonstrate humility. You know that? You'll never be able. What do you got to say for that?
A person who is insecure, when they exercise humility, they end up becoming a doormat. A secure person who exercises humility ends up becoming an inspiration to others while guarding their heart. Vulnerability without boundaries become a recipe for abuse. It takes courage to live with vulnerability.
Yeah. To be vulnerable to people. Listen, I think this is an aha moment. We've experienced this very much. A person who is insecure, when they exercise humility, they become a doormat because they have no boundaries to themselves and they just let people, you know, walk over them. A secure person has boundaries, exercises humility, and what happens is they end up becoming an inspiration for others. They end up becoming helpful to others, and people see them as a humble person because they know their strengths, they know their weaknesses. But so many people who are insecure attempt to be humble and think they can just be walked over by other people, and we see that all the time. And it's hard to become vulnerable when you are not secure as a human being. And that's when your acceptance in Christ is vitally, vitally important, that you recognize, if you're a believer here this morning, that your identity solid in Christ makes you a secure person, and the love of God envelops you in who you are. That is a big deal. Proverbs 14, 26 to 27 says, Those who fear the Lord are secure. Now, I would argue in that passage, Most people take it right away as a safety from the people around you and safe in the culture and all that stuff. But the Hebrew word implies much, much more. That even though you may have dangers around you, the dangers come in all kinds of forms. That you are secure in the Lord. In who you are. He will be a refuge for your children. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. All right, let's do this last one. Let's do insignificance. People who are insignificant, who feel they're insignificant. All right? I read a quote just recently from Brendan Burchard. It says, never let your small beginnings make you into someone who is small-minded. Never let your small beginnings make you into someone who is small-minded. And what he meant by that is just because I feel that I've had insignificant beginnings doesn't mean that I can't become something greater in Christ, something better in Christ. That those small beginnings have to absolutely be the last word in my life. That I can move beyond that. Many people become small-minded because they don't think they deserve anything greater or better in Christ.
Never let anyone make you feel like you don't matter or that you are insignificant. Many of us feel like, in the big picture, we are unimportant. We are just the background, that small little detail that nobody is ever going to see or catch. But just remember, we all do really have something to offer.
Yeah, isn't that the beauty of the church? Isn't that the beauty of being part of the community of the church? That everyone has something to contribute. Everyone is a piece of this. This doesn't work without you. It just doesn't work without you. It just doesn't become reality without you. You know, we're so blessed by the number of people. But I don't know how many times we've heard people say, I'm unimportant to the church. I'm insignificant to the church. You know how many times I've had people say, all I offer the church is prayer. Breaks your heart. Absolutely breaks your heart. But everyone has a significant place. To add, Ephesians 2, 9 to 10, I love this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We all want to do good for God, right? We all want to, you know, but that's not what gets us saved. That's not what gets us saved, right? But the writer goes on to say this, but we are God's masterpiece. How many of you recognize that you have been, from the womb, shaped by the very hand of God? That you are never insignificant to Him. That you are absolutely a masterpiece to God. You can never be insignificant when the hands of the Creator Himself has shaped you into who you are. For He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Not only do you have significance, but you have purpose on top of that. That you have been created by God to be significant in the community of faith and to make a difference in whatever world God has placed you. Okay, I've done too much talking, honey. We're coming to the end of this. All right. So if you know, based on everything that we've talked about this morning, and based on this passage, what is it? What is the one thing you want to leave everybody with tonight? Today.
Well, for me personally, is my thoughts are the next time I'm tempted to use the measuring stick of comparison, or when I'm tempted to think I'm insignificant or don't have anything to contribute or feel like I'm outside and not in a place of acceptance, I'm reminded of who I am in Christ. Let's commit to measure up by focusing upward on Christ and who we are in Him.
And that's been the difference for us, right? If there's one thing that we can say is we've experienced all this stuff, okay? And not to put ourselves in a, you know, People have experienced stuff far worse than we have. But the difference has been when we've depended on Christ and our faith in Christ. That's carried us through everything in a way that nothing else has been able. And that's what we want to say. So let me close in prayer. I hope you got that today, that the difference it makes in a faith in Christ and the difference it's made in our lives with everything that we've experienced and everything that we've had happen in our lives, that the difference has always been our faith in Christ and how it's carried us through every circumstance and every situation of life. Darlene, thanks for being here. I appreciate it very much. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning when we've been able to just focus on some truths that we've learned over the years and just some of the truths as well that come out of Scripture that keep us focused on you. And Lord, for each and every one of us, there are times that we forget who we are, what we are, how you've shaped us, how significant we are, the difference that we can make and the realities of what fear can do to us. But Lord, keep us in your hand. Keep us in your word. Keep us in your community to strengthen and to build us up on this day as your followers. Lord, there may be some here today who are not believers, who don't follow you. And may they be encouraged today that there's nothing in this world that compares to a faith in Christ and to grow in him and to find purpose and healing and hope as they live their lives in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the moms that are here today. Thank you for the spiritual mothers who are here today. Thank you for the women who are making differences in people's lives and the women who are making a difference in a way, Lord, that very few people know about, but you know about. May they be reminded today of your great love, their great significance in you, and may we continue to bless each other in a way that reminds us of who we are in Christ. Amen.